Praise the Lord. He's real. All right, you have your Bibles tonight. I believe this. Amen. How about our brother? Whoa, look, he got talents. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. But if you have your Bibles tonight, I know you guys do. Let's run over to Joshua. Joshua chapter number 16. We're continuing our study through the book of Joshua. And our theme this year is the courage to what?
Continue,
amen. We've not come this far to quit. Hallelujah. All right, once you get there, Joshua chapter number 16, we'll all stand. We're going to read one verse, verse number 10, and then ask God for his help tonight. That's Joshua chapter number 15 or 16 and verse number 10. The Bible says in verse number 10, and they drave not, oh my, here we go again, and they drave not out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer. But the Bible says the Canaanites dwelt among the Ephraimites unto this day and serve under tribute. We're going to talk tonight on this little thought, conquer, not compromise. Conquer, not compromise. Father, I pray tonight for your help. I pray, God, for the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray, God, you breathe through me, through me spiritually. Lord, I pray, God, you breathe through my mind and my ears, my eyes, all that I have. I pray, God, you use it for your honor, for your glory. I pray, God, if there's anything between you and I that will hinder you from using my vessel, I pray, God, you forgive me. I pray, God, you cleanse me, wash me thoroughly, inside and outside, and make me pliable. With that, Father, I'll personally shout hallelujah. But then I pray, God, for all those who came tonight to worship you. They came to be encouraged. They came to be energized. They came, God, to get their spiritual tank filled up for the rest of the week. And I pray and ask God you do just that. You would not disappoint. But I pray and ask God that instead you just amaze us about what you're going to do inside of us, Lord, tonight. With that, God, we'll praise you. And then I pray, God, whatever we receive tonight, we'll take it and share it with someone else. And with that, God, we'll praise you. We ask God to continue to bless our church. Help us to be a light. Help us be like a magnetic force that draws people not to ourselves, but to the precious Savior, Jesus. For that, God, we'll thank you. Help us. Why? Because we need it desperately. And then, God, there's one among us, or perhaps that's watching right now on the internet, that's not saved, but born again. I pray they receive Jesus as Lord, Savior, and King. And then one more time, Father, I pray, God, that you not only have heard all these prayer requests, but I also pray, God, you answer each one, Father, individually and collectively. For that, God, we'll thank you and we'll praise you. All right, that's it for now, Father. Now, if I've left anything out, meet that need too. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Not a weak Jesus, but mighty Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. They be seated. Conquer, not compromise. That word conquer also means to conquer by force, amen. And doesn't mean we're going to talk this thing out. It means, my friends, you conquer by force. That means you've got to fight, amen. The word compromise that we've chosen means this. It means a settlement of differences by mutual concessions. The synonyms are arrangement, contract, a covenant, or a deal. Now, sometimes in a marriage, for example, you may need to compromise on certain issues. But in this case, my dear friends, we are talking about not compromising with the enemy, not compromising with sin, and not compromising with the devil, not compromising with your flesh. But sometimes if we're not careful, we'll compromise or we'll just settle. Okay, we'll settle. Or if you don't just settle my difference, we'll work out an agreement that will be a mutual to both parties. Or for example, your flesh, let's be honest, your flesh really don't want to worship. It doesn't, okay? Our flesh would rather, right now, probably, more than likely, be at the house, chilling out, you know, kick back, maybe have the television on, maybe eat a sandwich or something of that nature, sleep, or who knows. That's what the flesh wants to do. But at the same time, the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of us wants to worship. Okay? And it's important to worship, but if we're not careful, we'll compromise with our flesh. Now, the Bible shows us and teaches us that the things that happened to the children of Israel happen for our examples. For example, look at 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11. We're coming right back, but look at 1 Corinthians 10 and look at verse 11. That's why we're in the Old Testament, but the Bible tells us these things happen to encourage us, to challenge us, to help us. Look, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 11. The Bible says this. Paul writes it to the church of Corinth. And Paul says this. Paul says in verse 11. Now, all these things happened unto them for what? In samples that they, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Now, let's break this down. He says, now, all these things happen unto them for in samples or patterns or types, for a model or a warning. So, in other words, when you go back and look at Israel, you'll see, my friends, there are certain things that happen to them that are there to warn us. There's some other things that happen to them that are there to encourage us. We can learn from the Old Testament. We can learn from the children of Israel. And the Bible tells us these things are written, my friends, to help us. Now, let's run back and we'll see what's happening over here with the children of Israel. The Bible says in verse number 10, the Bible says, and they drave not out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwell among the Ephraimites unto this day and serve under tribute. Now, what's happening here? What this means is this. At the time of this writing of the book of Joshua, the Canaanites were still there. Later, they're going to be kicked out. But right now, they're still there and they're with the Ephraimites because they did not do what God told them. The Bible says they did not drave them out. Well, that word drave there means to expel or to cast out. They did not expel them or kick them out. The Bible says that instead they dwelt or remained in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwell among the Ephraimites unto this day and serve on the tribute. They made an agreement. They compromised. We're fighting against you guys. We're having a hard time whooping you. So I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to let y'all stay. But y'all going to work and y'all going to pay tribute or a tax. So therefore, we're going to receive something out of this. And my friends, when you and I compromise with the enemy, there's going to be danger. You'll see later in the rest of the Old Testament where the Canaanites were like a thorn in their side. But they decided, listen, we're going to work it out. We're going to work it out. But what does the Bible say about hanging out with the wrong crowd? Look with me to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 33. Look at 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 33. Look what the Bible says. And a lot of times, well, it's okay. I mean, they're good people. Are they good people? Look what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 33. When God tells us something, he's trying to help us. Our flesh don't want to hear it. But look what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. The Bible says that Paul says on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, be what? Be not deceived. That word deceived there means to be led astray. Don't be seduced. Don't be seduced. When you are being seduced, listen, my dear friends, it's not going to come like something you don't want. It's going to be something that is appealing. It says, listen, don't be seduced. Don't be deceived. Don't be led astray. Don't let them smooth talk you. Your flesh will smooth talk you. Well, my sin ain't as big as Sharon's, you know. Then Sharon be like, well, it ain't as big as Kirby's, you know. And then we'll say, well, it's all right. But my dear friends, that's how the enemy tries to smooth it over. I mean, how many times have you heard kids say, well, at least I don't do drugs. Boy, get your behind there and clean your room up. Well, at least I don't drink. Well, I ain't got nothing to do. Clean your room up. Amen. You know, when I ain't run the streets at night, do what you're supposed to do. Amen. But a lot of time, my dear friends, if we're not careful, that's what the enemy does. And watch what he says. Be not deceived. Watch it, guys. Watch it. This is going to help us, help our young people going to school, back to school. It's going to help our adults who are in work. Look what the Bible says. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Now, that word communications there means companionships. He says evil or bad companionship or bad company does something. What does it do, preacher? The Bible says corrupts good manners. That word corrupt here means to ruin or destroy. Now watch this. The word manners means moral habits. So the Bible tells us, don't be led astray. Don't be deceived. Don't be seduced, man. By what? Listen, evil communications or companionships or company will ruin or destroy your good manners or your moral habits. A person who never drinks hangs around people who do drink. They're not careful. They'll wind up drinking too. A person who doesn't cuss, they hang around folks who cuss all the time. Somebody they're going to probably cuss too. What happens, my friends, is this. Is those good habits that we have, my friends, wind up getting turned around. Listen, for most kids, and it never failed. It never failed. Sister Barbara, when our kids went back to school, we'd have to detox them when they came home. Because they get to school, they get around all their friends, they hear all this kind of stuff, their behavior starts changing, they've been fine all summer. They come back home, they got an attitude. Like, what's wrong with it? He's like, oh, they're back in school. So we know for the next week or two, we're gonna have to work on that thing. Amen. Same thing when your kids go visit somebody. Out of town, they go visit for 3-4 weeks, they come back home, you can tell, man, they wild. Don't want to do nothing. What you're saying, preacher, what's happened is all that good training, all those good habits have now, my friends, been tainted, and now you're going to have to work that thing out. And the Bible tells us it's not good to hang out with the bad companies because they will affect your good habits. They will affect your good morals. That's why God told Israel, listen, take care of the Canaanites and everybody else. Get them out of there. Now let's flip back over. And let's get to the heart of the message. The first thing we already seen in verse number 10 is we see that they compromised. Instead of driving those people out, like God said, they compromised. Instead of continuing to fight, because perhaps they got tired of fighting. Perhaps they got worn out from fighting. Perhaps they saw some of them that were dying or whatever case might be. They gave up. They quit. And they said, listen, let's just work this thing out. No, let's not work out anything with our flesh. Let's not work out anything with our sin nature. Now watch what the Bible says. Going now to Deuteronomy. And we see the challenge that God told them that was going to take place. When instead of compromising, remember, there's going to be a challenge. But God's going to help you in the challenge. Look what the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter number 9. And look at verse number 1. The Bible says this in Deuteronomy 9 verse 1. And this is what God told them before they got to where they are. The same thing with us. God tells us, listen, I'm going to tell you what to expect. But you're not going to be by yourself. First of all, you're going to have a challenge. Now, we don't like challenges. But my friends, we don't have them. Look what the Bible says in verse 1. Look what God says. He said, hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day, to go in to possess nations, watch it now, greater and mightier than thyself, cities great and fenced up to heaven, a people great and tall, the children of the Anakims, which thou knowest, and of whom thou hast heard, say, who can stand before the children of Anak? You're going to face some giants. You know what, my dear friends? When you got saved by the grace of God, it means you're going to face some giants. But a lot of time, my dear friends, when we face those giants or come up to those giants, we don't want to extend up to that challenge. And instead, my friends, we go back the other way. But listen, my dear friends, if God tells you there's going to be a challenge, God doesn't leave you by yourself, my friends. He'll help you to be victorious in the challenge that you face. All young people that play in sports, whether it be softball or basketball or baseball or football or wrestling, whatever the sport might be, it's a challenge. It's a challenge. You're going to see somebody on the other side that might be bigger than you. They may be stronger than you. They may be faster than you. What are you going to do? Well, I ain't going out there. No, you get prepared to face your challenge. And that's what God is telling them. He already warned them. I'm already letting you guys know there's going to be some giants. There's going to be some big people that you've got to face. There's going to be some challenges. But he also tells them something else. You've got a captain. Who the Bible says in verse number 3. Understand, therefore, this day. I don't want you to misunderstand this. That the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee as a consuming fire. He shall destroy them, and he shall bring them down before thy face. So shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord hath said unto thee. Hey, baby, you're going to win. I'm your captain. I'm going to lead you to victory. Woo! Hallelujah. You ain't going to lose. But just follow me. Just follow me. I'm going to consume them. I'm going to wear them out. But notice what he says next. I'm your captain, but I want to caution you on something. Verse 4. Speak not thine in thine heart, after that the Lord thy God have cast them out from before thee, saying this. Watch it. For my righteousness, the Lord have brought me in to possess this land. So don't you do it. Let me caution you on getting the big head and say, you know what? Because I've been so good, that's why God blessed me. Listen, my dear friends, you can't get good enough for God to bless you, my dear friends. The Bible says that our righteousness is as filthy rags in the eyesight of God. But if we're not careful, so well, I know I got blessed. You know, I've been doing some good stuff, man. I've been doing. He says, don't y'all do that. I've been cautioning you. Watch what he goes on to say. He says, but let me tell you why I gave y'all what I'm giving you. But for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord doth drive them out from before thee. Because of their wickedness, because of the Canaanites and all those who dwell there, because of their sinfulness, that's why I'm driving them out and I'm giving you the land. So I'm sure some of you wonder, why come God took that from them people and gave it to Israel? God's telling us right here, because of their wickedness, because of their awfulness. I'm taking it from them, not because of your goodness, but I'm taking it from them and I'm giving it to you. Watch this in verse 5. Not, he said. Man, y'all think, listen, I know how y'all are. Y'all are a hard-headed group of folks. Listen, I got to repeat this thing. Not for thy righteousness, or for the uprightness of thine heart, dost thou go to possess this land. But I'm going to tell you again, and I ain't stuttering, but for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee, that he may perform the word which the Lord sware unto the fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm keeping my covenant. I'm keeping my agreement. But it's not because of you being so good. It's because of their wickedness. I'm giving this to you. Listen, my dear friends, God will give us a victory. But let's not walk around with a big head. No. I'm better than everybody else. You know, it's because I've been reading my Bible. You know, I've been doing this. Don't get me wrong. God bless you for those things. But don't you start looking at yourself. Tell me, it's because all because of me. God gives you the desire for that. Listen, my dear friends, always honor God. Always exalt him. But he cautions us, my dear friends, not to get the big head. And then we see what happens, my friends, when we don't do what God says do. Flip over with me now in the Judges, chapter 2, verse number 1. Because now remember, God already told him, I'm your captain. You're going to have some challenges. I'm going to caution you. But then we see they don't drive them out. Now watch what the Bible says over Judges, chapter number 9. I'm sorry, Judges 2 and verse 1. Judges 2 and look at verse number 1. Look what the Bible says right here. Judges 2 and look at verse number 1. The Bible says this. And now, just to kind of give you a little background, if you read chapter 1, it tells you about all the different ones, the different groups of the tribes who did not drive out the enemy. And then he says this in verse number 1. And the angel of the Lord, Judges chapter 2, verse 1. And the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt. And I brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And you shall make no league. Don't make no league, no covenant or anything of that nature with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their altars. Oh. But you have not obeyed my voice. Why? I don't know about y'all, but can you imagine God asking us why? He says, why? Why have you done this? Now I want to ask ourselves the question, why have we done what we've done? He goes on to say this. Wherefore I said, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. Because you didn't drive them out like I told you. You know what? I want them to be a snare to you. You ever got one of those, you ever got a splinter? Man, yeah. Man, you get a splinter under your skin, you can't get that joker out. I mean, you be trying to get it out, and like the more you try to get it out, the further it goes in there. Yeah. And then because you might be in a hurry to go do something or whatever, you leave it there. But all day long, it's just there. It's a little splinter. It ain't big as nothing. But man, it'll aggravate you and agitate you. My soul. God said, you know what? Because you didn't follow my directions. Why didn't they follow God's directions? Like I said, the Bible doesn't tell us exactly, but it could be because they got tired of fighting. It could be because they lacked faith. Or maybe they didn't trust God. But God already told them, I'm going to go. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to lead you to victory. But whatever the case might be, they didn't drive them out. So God said, nah, they're going to be thorns. They're going to be agitators. Aggravation. And I believe we just be honest tonight and ask ourselves the question. Maybe there's certain things in my life that's still hanging around, agitating me because I didn't get rid of it like God told me to. And that's why I'm still here. But the good news is this. It don't have to stay. We'll see later on, not in this book here, but you'll see later on, well, God used the enemy, the Egyptians, to take care of the Canaanites for the children of Israel. What are you saying, preacher? God will get them out of there. But I don't know about you, but I'd rather be gone now than later. Why would I want to go 10 years being aggravated and agitated? We don't have to if we don't compromise with the enemy. Instead of compromising, let's conquer. God says, tells us already, we know in the Word of God, in John, 1 John, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. If you're saved by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit lives on the inside. He's giving you power to fight against that enemy. But we've got to have the courage to continue. Because like the Bible says, the flesh is willing. The flesh is weak and the spirit is willing. So what I need to do? Feed my spirit, man, so it can overcome my flesh and help me to be victorious. Because I'm going to tell you, we was talking about this the other day, but don't let that devil get your ear. Once he starts telling you all this stuff, you know, we're praying for Jenny. She's going to go on I guess it's the first official date, like, sort of like, somewhat. Yeah. Okay. That's good enough. Okay. But if it happens, we know what she desires to have a mate. She desires to have that. But we also got to pray this. Yes, he's the right one, but also pray this, that we don't settle for someone that just comes along. Well, they got. I'll use this terms, okay? They got some of the goods, but not all the goods, you know. But I mean, it's like it's, you know. Don't settle. No, make sure. That's why she has us to pray. Make sure this is exactly that one that God wants you to have. Whether it be the job, somebody mentioned. Oh, the job too. We pray about the job too. But will it be the job, whether it be in your situation, what's going on, all these different things. We pray, okay, God, this is what I desire, but I want your will to be done. I don't want to compromise. I want to continue to do what you say do so I can have the victory in my heart and my soul that you want to give. What are you saying, preacher? Listen, let's not compromise. Let's not compromise. But instead, my dear friends, let's conquer. You conquer, you look back and you're so glad that you did. I'm going to say this, me and my wife have been married for 25 years. When we first got together, she would look in the mirror at me, But the thing about it, we was going in different directions. We were fighting each other. I mean, we'd be nose to nose, Sharon. It's nose to nose, you know. It's amazing how, when our hearts got right with the Lord, how God began to change all that. You know, and now, I mean, our love is growing every day. Every day. Growing every day. It's growing every day. You know, why is that? Because of him. You know, God's got me doing a job that I love to do. I love to share the word of God with people. I like to preach the word of God. I like to see people helped and encouraged. I like to see people get victorious, you know. But it ain't like it's just smooth sailing. It's not like, you know, you talk to a person one day and they get a victory. Woo! A lot of times there's sweat. There's tears. There's a lot of praying, you know. And then sometimes I feel like I'll be thinking to myself, well, they're done. They just ain't going to work. This is over with. Then God said, let me show you who's in charge. I'm like, wow, look what God did. Awesome. God's awesome. What does that do? Propel my faith. What are you saying, preacher? We need to conquer and not compromise. Let me ask you this question. what issue, what sin, what problem that's still there in your life that you've not conquered. But if you're not careful, you're about to compromise with it. You're about to compromise with it. Well, I got two questions tonight. First one is this. Are you compromising or conquering the enemy? Are you compromising or conquering the enemy? The second question is this. Do you believe the word? Oh, my soul. Do you believe the Lord will keep his word? And watch this. And help you. Do you believe God will keep his word and help you? They stopped believing God because God told them I'd do it. But they compromised. The last was a statement. Let's ask God to strengthen our confidence, not in ourselves, not in someone else. We'll ask the Lord to strengthen our confidence in him. Father, thank you for me, wonderful blessing. I tried my best to share the word of God, so laid upon my heart to share this evening. And I pray and ask God that none of us would compromise, but we conquer that situation, that circumstance, that enemy, that flesh. I don't know what it is. Whatever it is, I pray God we conquer it. We conquer it. And God, you told us we're more than conquerors, Lord, through Jesus. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be more than conquerors. And I pray and ask God we lean upon you, trust you, and then walk away with victory. And for that, God, we'll shout hallelujah. I pray God, if there's anything else that you've been speaking to our hearts about, I pray God we don't respond the way you want us to respond. Then receive, God, the victory that you long to give us, Father. Please, sir, help us right now. And then, God, if there's anything else that needs to be addressed before your throne, I pray, God, we bring it. Some people might come and thank you for your goodness. Thank you for helping them not to compromise but conquer. Perhaps there's some folks who want to pray for other people that they love and care about that are in a struggle. They're in a dog fight, but they want to pray for them. I pray, God, they come. God, but whatever the needs are, help us respond. Please, for us in your son's name we pray, Father. We heard the songs. We've heard the sermon. It's time to respond. For us in Christ's name we pray. Jesus, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. And perhaps you can come talk to a little prof-